For this time, we're going to consider some of God's truth. Lord God, we just give you thanks that you're with us this morning. We give you thanks for the chance we've had to worship you. And as we continue to worship you by considering who you are and how you interact with us, Lord, we just pray that your truth would reign. That your truth that you want us to know this morning would become so evident, and that our hearts and minds would be blessed by considering you and how great and faithful you are. Amen. So, prayer's a funny thing. As Christians, praying becomes quite a big part of what we do, and we believe that prayer has power, that prayer is a real thing that changes how things are. And in my work, I work for a Christian organization, obviously, every morning, for a quarter of an hour, beginning each day, we have a corporate prayer meeting. And probably a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, we had a lady come out from England, Amy, and she was coming to New Zealand to work for a year to help out in our church partnership team. And she was really, really excited to be there. She was all fired up and enthusiastic about it. And the team was really excited to have her because we really needed her resource in terms of what she could bring to the team. But when she arrived, Amy arrived with a illness. She came and she had a stomach issue. And the stomach issue meant that she pretty much couldn't eat and she couldn't sit. She pretty much had to spend all day lying down. And this was really discouraging for her because she felt that the Lord had told her to go to New Zealand to work for CAPA New Zealand. She had been working for the CAPA UK office and had done well there and wanted to come and spend some time in the New Zealand office. But when she got there, she had this illness that meant she pretty much could manage maybe 1 or 2 hours of work a day, and then she had to go home again. And the team, believing in the power of prayer, the team prayed for Amy pretty much every day for 6 months, believing that God was going to cure her and enable her to be productive in the way that she expected to be productive. And for 6 months, the team prayed and prayed and prayed and believed and hoped that God would want to cure her, that God would want to bless her by being healed. After about 6 months, there was no change in her situation. Her stomach still was not any better. She was still not able to sustain a work day. She was still overwhelmed by this illness. And that's a difficult thing for people to deal with. We believe we were praying for a good thing. There was a belief that God would wanted Amy to be in New Zealand. The belief was that they wanted her in New Zealand so she could help CAP New Zealand. They believed that God is good and God would bless and God would heal because God is a God who is good. But when God doesn't answer a prayer like that, does that mean that God doesn't answer prayer? Does that mean that God's not listening to us? Does that mean that God is not a good God? And all of us experience this in one way or another. Every day, most of us are praying prayers. Most of us are asking God to intervene in our life in some way. Just a little while ago, we prayed for many things. We prayed about work, we prayed about family, we prayed about sickness, we prayed about health, we prayed for many, many things. And every day, in many ways, we pray. We ask God to make a difference in our lives. This last week, I had to go for a dental appointment. And I prayed for the miracle of my teeth being completely fine. We pray that our jobs would be fine, we'd find a satisfaction in our jobs. We pray that our kids wouldn't anger us so much, or our kids would be more obedient. We pray constantly for many things. We pray for housing and cars and friends and boyfriends and girlfriends and all sorts of things. We are constantly having this conversation with God, asking God to make our life different from what it is. And I don't know what your experience of all these prayers we send up, but so often the prayers that we send up to God don't result in asking the answers that we expect or want or think are right even. Life would seem to be, our prayer life with God would seem to be a series of disappointments or a series of missed expectations. What does that say about God, and what does that say about how he feels about us? This morning we're going to explore what prayer is, and we're going to explore how God answers those prayers and what we're supposed to do in that space of God answering prayers in those various ways. And And I know that I'm not the only person who struggles with this idea of prayer and unanswered prayer. I was reading a guy who put on his Facebook wall, because he was struggling with unanswered prayer, and he put on his Facebook, unanswered prayer, dot, dot, dot. And a whole bunch of people responded to that. And one person said, unanswered prayer is deeply disappointing. It makes me feel unloved, feels like a betrayal, is confusing, can be overwhelming, and it's business as usual, because God doesn't answer my prayer. So it's not just you or I who struggles with how God answers prayer, but it's a universal experience of God's people. And hopefully by the end of our time together this morning, we will understand that God does answer prayer, and that every answer that God gives us, no matter what it looks like, whether it meets our expectations or not, is an expression of God's sovereignty and God's deep, deep love for us. So let's think about prayer. What do we know about prayer? Well, we know that the Bible tells us that prayer is meant to be an essential part of His children's life. If we are part of God's family, if we are His children, we are expected to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." God's expectation of us as one of His children in Jesus is that we pray continually, that prayer is a feature of our life that permeates every part of our life. Some of us see prayer as something that we do at set times during the day, whether that be when I wake up in the morning and when I have dinner at night. Or when I have devotions, I will say a prayer to God. But the Bible tells us that prayer is meant to be something that is a continual part of our life. Because prayer isn't a set routine at a set time saying a set words. Prayer is our way of having a relationship and communicating with our Father in heaven. You know that your relationships that you have in everyday life with human beings aren't created because you speak to them once a day in a set formula. But your relationships you build up in this world with your husband or with your wife, with your children, with your work colleagues, with your schoolmates, is built up by a continued interaction, a communication verbally, non-verbally, and practice. So our relationship with God, our prayer relationship with our Father in heaven, needs to be a continued engagement and building of relationship and communication back and forth. When you think of prayer as a set time and a set routine, you're depowering the value of what it is. Prayer is the means we have to build relationship with our Father in heaven. And He expects us to do that in every area of our life and build that into everything we do. The way we parent, the way we do our jobs, the way we tidy our house, the way we garden, the way that we go for a walk, the way we exercise, the way we eat. This continual relationship with God is part of all that. We need to figure out how what it looks like to be in communication and relationship with God in all areas of our life. Because that is prayer. The desire to have relationship and communication with the Father that loves us and that we, as His children, are meant to love. So we're commanded by God to pray every day in every way. And we're told that when we pray, that God will answer. John 16:24 says, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." The Bible in many passages tells us that if we ask, that God will answer. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. The Bible tells us that God is a God who answers our prayers. As we have this communication with God throughout the day, God is going to be talking back. God is going to be answering our communication with Him. We're not just posting messages to a message board and they're never going to get answered. But we're in constant relationship. God hears everything we say and sees everything we do. And God has things to say about all that. God wants to connect in all those areas of life. God wants to answer our prayer. God will answer our prayer. Because prayer, the interaction with our Father in heaven, is means of us getting to know him better. And as we get to know our Father better, we'll get to know ourselves better as God's children. That interaction is us building up our understanding of who God is and what he can do. And it's our vehicle for understanding who we are and what we need to do. So don't see prayer as something you do at set times to ask for set things, but see it as the vehicle in which we have to build relationship with the Heavenly Father, who is all-powerful, all-loving, and incredibly wise, and has our best interests at heart, and will always answer our prayers. That is the presumption that we need to have with prayer. This is what we need to build into. And we are told that God will hear our prayer, that as we offer up our prayer to God, that God will hear it because we have a high priest with us at the right hand of God. Because to be honest, the things that I say and the things that I think aren't always things that God's going to want to hear or see, because I'm flawed. Some of the things I think in my head, some of the ways I talk to God sometimes isn't always the best. I can get angry, I can get frustrated, I can get sad, I can be disappointed, I can be all these negative things. I can say that to God because I know that no matter how imperfect my communication to God is, that I have a high priest at the right hand of God the Father named Jesus. And because I trust in Jesus and believe in Jesus, he takes all my messy, frustrated, angry, depressed, disappointed prayers. He takes them, he dusts them off, he washes them with his blood, makes them perfect offerings before they're presented to God. So it's not about how eloquent you are. It's not about how big a words you use or how theologically correct you are. Because we have a high priest in heaven who takes our most primitive groanings and utterings and urges and presents those to God in perfected form. It's like we have a heavenly editor who edits out all our flawed communication and makes them perfect in God's sight. So we can approach God with confidence, knowing that when he looks at us, he's not going to see our sin. He's not going to look at our failure. He's going to see perfection. Because our sin, our brokenness, has been paid for by Christ's blood on the cross. And we can approach our Heavenly Father with complete confidence because we know Jesus goes before us and has fixed that relationship forever. And no matter what we say to God, that will be taken through the blood of Christ and made perfect and acceptable in his sight. So we can say whatever we want, we can say whatever we need to God, and that will be accepted by God. And then he'll answer that. When we read the Lord's Prayer, we see a template for what prayer looks like. That's why God gave it to us. When he starts off by saying, "Our Father in heaven," it reminds us that it is a relationship. This is a conversation. This is an intimate thing. The way I speak to my father, or the way my kids speak to me, or the way that I speak to someone who's so intimately connected to me is different than the way I'd speak to the prime minister, or a president, or a king, or a head of a corporation. There's not a detached formality to it. You're talking to your dad. You're talking to someone you have intimate relationship with. You're talking to someone that you can trust, who's looking out for you. And I know that not all of us talk to our dad in that way. I'm not saying that's a... But we have this perfect dad with perfect love and perfect care for us that we have perfect relationship with. So to set the expectation of what prayer looks like, we're talking to someone who loves us. We're talking to a friend. We're talking to someone who's intimate with us. So that's the first thing, is that when we're talking through prayer, we're praying to someone who loves us and cares for us and who we have intimacy with. He goes on straight away to say, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom done, your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven." So even though we have this amazing intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, we need to remember who we're dealing with. Even though he is our loving Heavenly Father, he's still God. He's still the big God. He's still the all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent, all those big omni words, which means he's everything. He's still that. He is still so much more than we are. And we need to remember that. We need to be putting him in charge. It's not like we're going into this relationship dictating the terms of the relationship. We're approaching God with respect, with sincerity, with humility, the same kind of way that we'd love our kids to approach us, with respect and humility and humbleness, but not many of us do, perhaps. But there's a sense that when we approach God, we are approaching the Heavenly Father who we have this intimate relationship, but we are still approaching the God of the universe. And the communication that we're desiring to have with God isn't about us, it's about God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we approach God, when we're having this discussion with God, this communication with God, the focus of that communication is us trying to figure out who God is in this situation and what he wants in this situation. Because we can trust our Father. Our Father does love us. Our Father does want what's best for us, and our Father will answer us. But sometimes the tricky part is identifying what that looks like on God's terms and not in our terms. So this kind of approach to God, where we're having this intimate personal relationship by putting God first and respecting him as the big guy, helps shape how we see prayer. Does that make sense? I hope so. And then he goes on to talk through the things of life. Give us our day today our daily bread, forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptation. He talks about the way to do life. But he sets the table for that in this framework of intimate relationship and honoring the Heavenly Father as God and submitting himself to that. It sets up the dynamics of all communication that goes after that. We have an intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father who we are seeking to know better and to honor and to see his best come out of it. And then in the light of this relationship and in this dynamic, we then try to deal with life. And because we've got this dynamic relationship, this intimacy and submission, what prayer does, what the ongoing communication does, or hopefully does, is it reshapes our hearts and minds and attitudes and beliefs to fit who God is and who we are made to be. So prayer is quite transformative in that way. Prayer is an ongoing communication that molds our heart and mind into the image of God, because we are having an ongoing conversation with him that shapes the way we think and the way we feel. So we're going to move a bit on to answers, because the way we approach God often shapes the way that we expect the answers to come. So when we normally approach God, when some people approach God, they see God as a genie. I think Anita said, call them Genie Jesus. Some people approach God as Genie Jesus. I'm not sure if that was an original by Anita or if she got it from a book or something, but Genie Jesus, the idea that we've got a problem, we go to our magic lamp and we rub it, and poof, God comes up and says, how would you like me to solve your problems? God isn't a genie. We don't approach God and whatever we want, we just need to tell God and God will make it so. He's not a wish fulfillment service. That is not who God is. And sometimes we presume that if we pray, that God will answer, because the Bible says God answers prayer, and if we pray it, God will give it to us. I wish it, so it will be so. My dream of genie impersonation. That will be over the heads of like most of the congregation, because that's a really old show. That's his idea. When we pray for God, sometimes the answers that we expect are the answers that we want, because God is meant to give us what we want. Sometimes we think of, sometimes you may think of God as like the magic eight ball God. I have a problem in my life. I need to go to God. There's my answer. That's what I need to do. God is not a magic eight ball God who answers us every time we shake him. I need to talk to God so I can get an answer. God doesn't work to our timetable. He doesn't fill in what we need. He's not like Google or Wikipedia. We can't get all the answers straight away. God has his own thing, but sometimes our view of God affects that. Sometimes we believe that God should give us what we want, that we know what's best for us, that we know what life should look like, that we know what good looks like, that we know what loving looks like. We make all these presumptions about who God is, and that affects what we expect out of prayer. But when we step back and realize what prayer is, that prayer is a relationship building exercise between us and our Heavenly Father, who happens to be the King of the universe, we'll start to realize that we can't expect God to answer prayer the way we want it to be answered. We can't expect God to answer when we want Him to answer, because we've already submitted ourselves to His superiority. That we've already invested ourselves in how loving and wise and powerful He is. If we approach prayer in the right attitude, the attitude of trust and love and submission, when God starts answering prayers, we will start to recognize that the prayer answers that we are getting are good no matter what they are. Because God does answer prayers in various ways. Now, I'm going to follow the traditional approach to God answering prayer to say there are three ways God answers prayer. And the first is yes. God does answer prayer. And when we approach prayer and we pray to God, there will be times in our lives when God answers our prayer in remarkable ways. Just this 2 weeks ago, we had a work thing called Discovery Break, where we send some of our client families on holiday for 4 days in Rotorua, and they get blessed and they get taken really good care of. And during that 4 days, we have a lot of stuff about God in there. Not only do we love them 24/7, but we have sessions where we pray for people and teach them about who Jesus is and what Jesus can do and the impact on their life. And in this last Discovery Break, there was a six-year-old girl who was born with chronic arthritis. She couldn't go through a single day where all her joints weren't in pain all the time. Her family couldn't put their hands on her shoulders or elbows or fingers, hold her hand without there being immediate pain. And the team down at Discovery Break, they prayed for this little girl. They asked God that God would show how loving and how powerful He is by healing her. And the next morning when the family came to the breakfast, the dad was so excited because for the first time he could hold his daughter's hand and walk with her without her being in incredible pain. So God is an amazing God. God is a powerful God. God is a loving God. And sometimes when you pray to God, He'll say, yes, I'm going to do it. Bam! Amazing stuff happens. And that's a pretty amazing miracle thing, but every day and every way, God is sometimes answering our prayers with an immediate yes. That is in accordance with my will. Yes, that is for my glory. Yes, that is for your benefit. I will let that happen. I will make that happen. I will allow that. And God does that sometimes. God says, yes, yes, yes. Let's do it. So sometimes you'll experience that, and that's when you think, God answers prayer because He's answered what you expected when you expected it. So God is real. Go God. Is that right? It's easy to believe God answers prayer when He says yes and gives us what we want. But God doesn't always say yes straight away. Sometimes God says, nope. Just as I was thinking that, there's a... anyone here watch My Little Pony? No. Hey, good, Eric. Brony. My Little Pony's a great show, kids show. My kids watch a lot of My Little Pony, so I know a lot about My Little Pony. But my favorite character on My Little Pony is a guy called, is this pony called Big Mac. And he's a very reserved character. And pretty much the only things that Big Mac normally says is, yep, or nope. No matter what other people do, he's like, yep. Nope. And sometimes we think of God like that. The God that says, yep, or nope. And sometimes when we pray to God, we feel God says, nope. Not really relevant, but yeah. My Little Pony, great show. Sometimes God says no to us. That God is this God who says yes or no. And sometimes He'll say no. And what do we do with that? Because when we pray, we aren't praying for no reason. We're praying because we think that prayer makes a difference. We believe that God loves us and that God wants what's best for us, and we ask stuff because we think we know what's best for us. We think we know what needs to happen for things to work out. And that's not always a selfish thing. That's not always because we are trying to get our own way and trying to advance our own cause. Some of the time, we genuinely believe that what we want to happen is what's best. When we were praying for Amy, we believe that her being healed and being able to restore and being able to do what she came to New Zealand to do would be an amazing answer of God. It would show that God is an amazing healing God. It would enable Amy to do what she wants to do. It would be a great thing for all involved. But God said, no, that's not what's going to happen. And if you believe that God wants to give you what you want, or if you believe that God is always out to give you what's best, or if God always wants to give the best in every situation, as you perceive it, then you're going to be painfully disappointed. And some people really struggle with their faith when they are told that God's going to say yes to their prayers and God says no. If you're told that if you ask God, God will give it to you, and God says no, that can really undermine a person's faith. We need to come to the point where we accept that no is a valid and loving answer. And God doesn't say no to us because he doesn't like you. When you pray to God with all your heart, trusting in him as the powerful, loving God, and he says no, it's not because he thinks you're not good enough. It has nothing to do with how worthy you are, or how special you are, or how precious you are. God doesn't say no to you because there's something wrong with you. That's the first thing to know. God loves you unconditionally. God loves you with all his heart. If he has said no to your prayer, it's not because there's something wrong with you, or some fault in you, or flaw in you. It's because he does love you. Just think for a moment. I'm going to take you to Luke 22 for just a moment. This is just before Jesus gets crucified. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Just think about it for a minute. Jesus, Son of God, was praying to God, "Please don't make me go through this. If there's any other way for me, for this salvation thing to happen, the redemption of this world to happen, apart from me taking on all the punishment for sin and being separated from you, please make it so." And yet, God, his Father, the most intimate of relationships of all relationships, God the Father and God the Son, the answer to that prayer, that desperate, sweating blood prayer, was no. There is no other way. You're going to die. Is that an expression of lack of love for Jesus? That God said, no, there's no other way. You're going to have to die. That is not an expression of lack of love or something wrong with Jesus. That means that no was the answer that was required for everything to be put back right. No doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. No doesn't mean that God doesn't care for you. Sometimes it's the exact opposite. It is the exact opposite. No means I love you and I've got what's best for you in mind. Some people would say that if God doesn't answer your prayer, it's because of a lack of faith. If you only believed God more, if only you trusted him more, if only if you had a bigger view of who God is, God would do what you want him to do. That's not right either. If God says no to you, it's not because you don't trust him enough. It's not because of some inadequacy in you. Because as we said before, our prayers we presented to God are presented in our purity or our power or our strength. Our prayers presented to God are presented in God's in Jesus' blood, pure and perfect and powerful. So there's no lack of faith in us that means our prayers are not answered. It's not a lack of our faith, it's a lack of our trust and our understanding which sees no as a problem. Sometimes when we pray to God, you may pray for prosperity and instead God gives financial stress. Sometimes we pray for health and we see sickness. Sometimes we pray for good things and instead of getting the good things that we've asked for, we get pain and suffering and affliction. God doesn't say no, he says no, and here's a dose of that for you. He said, "God, what are you doing? I've asked in your name. I've asked believing that you would make a difference. And you said no." It's not because God doesn't love us, not because we have a lack of faith. God said no because he loves you and because God knows what's best for us. Jeremiah tells us in chapter 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God does love you. God does care for you. And when God says no, he is motivated by a love for us. Our presumption when dealing with God, when having this intimate relationship, this conversation with God, is our presumption needs to be built on God loves us, God's in charge, God can do everything, and God will do what's right. When we struggle with God saying no to us, I believe that often that's because our conception of who God is and how God interacts with us may be flawed. God is a God of love. God is a God who deeply cares for us. And we know from our own lives that love doesn't look like saying yes. If our kids came to us and said, Dad, I want to have lollies for dinner. Can I have lollies for dinner tonight? Me saying no isn't a lack of care for them. It isn't a lack of an expression of love. It's not an expression of anything to them. It's a no, that is not what is good. If I love you, I'm going to encourage you to eat healthy food. It's not a display of a lack of care or love when someone says no. When Abel's running down towards the road, wanting to run onto the road, I say no. That's not an expression of a lack of care for Abel. That's an acknowledgement that what's best for him isn't playing in traffic. But when we have that presumption that God loves us, is for us, and the answer that he gives us is what is good, then we'll start to see an answer of no in a new light. But to do that, it does take a submission in our hearts. It does require a humbleness of our hearts to say, you know what? I don't know myself the best. There is someone out there who knows me better than I know myself. There's someone out there who loves me more than I love myself. There's someone out there who wants what's best for me no matter what. Because we're human, we're going to take the easy way out. 9 times out of 10, we're going to take the easy way out. We're going to cut corners. We're going to do things down the path of least resistance. But God loves us so much that he will put us on the path that's going to benefit us the most, that's going to ultimately show his love, power, and care the most, even if that does take us through real rough times in the meantime. So sometimes when we pray to God, God will say, yes, here it is, my precious child, here's your answer. Sometimes when we ask God, God will say, no, you're not getting it, it's not good for you. Trust me on this one. God will say, trust me, you don't need that, you don't want that, that's not what's right. And sometimes God will take us through this period of uncertainty, a time of waiting, a time of anticipation. And when God says, wait, hold up, it's not because God isn't listening. It's not that God hasn't responded yet because he's not listening, he's too busy. It's not like a call center where God has 17 billion calls in the queue and you're at number 5 million. And you just have to wait. God does hear straight away. God does listen straight away. He has a plan. As soon as we talk to God, he's got a plan in place to address that particular issue. But sometimes he knows when that answer is going to be most effective, when it's going to be the most powerful moment of your life, in your life. So instead of seeing God telling us to wait as a punishment or indifference, how about we see a call to wait as an invitation from God for transformation? That period of waiting, that expectation, that anticipation is a chance for us to continue to talk to God, to continue to build that relationship and see God at work in our hearts. Because ultimately, that's what God is invested in. What is good for us is us becoming more like God. What is good for us is being conformed to his likeness. What is good for us is growing in relationship with him. And a period of waiting and anticipation is a chance for our hearts and minds to be transformed into what God would like it to be. Now, every day in our lives, there's a epic spiritual battle going on between God and his enemy in this world, Satan. It's a real battle. And one of the main weapons that Satan's going to use against you is doubt. When in the garden, he was sowing doubt to Adam and Eve about what would happen if they eat the apple. Does God really love you? Does God really take care of you? Does God really have what's best for you? So he's going to use that period of waiting as a time to attack you in the area of doubt. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe God's not real. Maybe he's not good. Maybe he's not kind. Maybe I'm not really a Christian. God's going to use that time of waiting. Satan's going to use that time of waiting as a time to attack you, to create doubt. But we need to use that time of waiting, that anticipation, as a time to work on our relationship with God, to build it up, to strengthen it, to desire him more. So if you're waiting on an answer from God, instead of asking the questions of, why aren't you answering me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with the situation? Maybe the questions we need to ask in that time of waiting is, what do I need to learn from this? How do I see you more in this? What can I learn in this? How am I going to be transformed in this? And often in that period of waiting, the question, the thing that you've asked for back here, please, Lord, do this. By the time you've had a time of relationship with God and getting to know God better, getting to understand yourself better, you find down here that what you asked for back there wasn't what you wanted or what you needed, but it was something entirely different the whole time. And sometimes when you have those transformational moments where your heart and mind is being conformed to God's, you realize that the prayer was already answered, but in a way that you never expected it to be answered, because you are asking for the wrong thing in the wrong way in the wrong time. Our prayer with God is an ongoing relationship and communication which reshapes our heart, our mind, our will, our intentions for this world into God's. It's not a magic eight ball. It's not a genie. It's an ongoing relationship which conforms our hearts and minds into a likeness of God's. I'd encourage you, as you pray, that you examine your life to see where it needs to be transformed into the likeness of God's. I encourage you to presume God's love and affection for you. God sent his son to die for you. He has brought you into his family at the ultimate cost. He does love you. There's no doubt in that. Presume that he's doing the loving thing. Accept the fact that God's in charge and that he knows best. God is greater than you. God is more powerful than you. God is more wise than you. He will do what is right every single time. He will not do what's easy. He will not do what's comfortable. He will not do the nice thing. He will do the right thing. It's right for you in your eternal perspective. Listen to God. Prayer is not a one-way street. It's not like we send off messages into the abyss. It's a relationship. It's communication. God answers prayer. God communicates with you. As you talk to him, listen for his voice. Don't just rattle off your prayer like at a race meeting. I want to do this, and I want to do this, I want this, I want that, take care of that, take care of that, that person's sick, that person needs this. But build relationship. Speak, listen, enjoy communion with the Heavenly Father. Because when you hear his voice, you will be transformed. And just keep talking to God. Keep building that relationship. If he doesn't answer, don't stop. Relate, communicate. He loves you. He cares for you. He's going to do something amazing in your life. But it may not look like you want it to look. Ultimately, prayer is an amazing gift that we have. The highest attainment of humanity is to have a relationship with our Creator. The highest goal and desire of our hearts is to be intimate with the Heavenly Father. That's what we were created for. We were created for relationship with God, to honor him, to worship him, to glorify in him, and have a relationship with him. Prayer is the vehicle that God has given us to build that relationship, to attain to that goal. We should value it and believe it. Prayer is a driver, the source, the expression of relationship. And as we pray, it can be informative, restorative, transformative. It's an amazing thing. When we're dealing with the Heavenly Father, how we can be transformed by that relationship. I encourage you as you go about your life to pray without ceasing, to be in constant relationship with our Heavenly Father, to be constantly seeking His will, His purpose, His glory. And you'll find that when you have that mindset of being in submission to God and presuming the best of God, you'll start to see that God has answered your prayers and the way your life has been impacted, the way the lives of your family have been impacted, the way that God has been moving things in His purpose and His direction the whole time. You have to recognize it because you're looking for the wrong things. I'm excited and I'm reassured that I can talk to my Father and that He hears me and that He'll answer me for my good and for His glory. I hope you are too. Let me pray. Lord, we just want to come before You. We pray that as we wrestle with this conception of prayer this morning, that You have been at work in our hearts, that our understanding of You has been increased, that our understanding of our own response has been increased. We want an intimate relationship with You. We want to see You as You are. We want to see this world as You see it. And we pray that as we continually wrestle with You and talk with You and discuss with You and challenge You and be rebuked by You, we pray this ongoing communication is really transformative, Lord. We pray You conform us to Your likeness and image, and that we'd just be grown in You more and more. Amen.